On the morning show on KEXE, KBXE, we talk about things like sports, like fishing, like politics. But we also talk about what isn't always easy to discuss. Things like mental illness, suicide, domestic violence awareness. In the Grand Rapids area, some of the Grand Rapids police officers are stepping up to make a difference. They will be riding bikes in uniform in the Mesabi Trail Tour to raise money for and bring awareness to domestic violence. Joining us in the studio, Grand Rapids Deputy Mike Partlow and the Executive Director of Advocates for Family Peace, Mandy Alto. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for coming in today.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So, Mike, let's start with you. How did this begin? Why did you want to do this?
Well, for me, it started, I've been riding the Mesabi Tour, the 72 miles, for 4 or 5 years in a row, and I just, and being a, I've been a deputy for 18 years and in law enforcement for 23, and I just decided this was a way that I could get back to the community and bring some awareness to domestic violence.
How much does domestic violence affect a number isn't the right way, but how does it affect your job? What do you see out there? And
I think for me as a longer-term law enforcement officer now in the county, I think it's just my whole view is from when I originally started in law enforcement to where it is now has changed. When I initially started, my family life as growing up was pretty normal, I would say, and when I got into law enforcement, you just see the different or how domestic violence affects a whole family unit from the kids to the extended family. And for me, it was a change that I didn't really, that I wanted to be part of and try to bring something back to the community.
So Mandy, I know your relationship with law enforcement has to be really, really tight together. And I think sometimes maybe it hasn't been that way. How's the relationship going now with law enforcement? And are they, I don't want to put them on the spot, but maybe becoming better educated on domestic violence?
Well, I think it's an ongoing process because, I mean, we do butt heads from time to time.
Sure.
It's because of our confidentiality protection. But at the end of the day, we both want the victims to be safe and we want the community to be safer. Some of the challenges with some of the Minnesota statutes that kind of make it difficult to do our jobs, sometimes we just have to find creative and innovative ways to work together. And people don't stay the same. The crises that they face these days, I think, are more complex than they ever were before. And so for all of us, it's just constantly having to learn, how do we adapt now to where these people are at, and how do we create ways that we can create safety for these victims?
So what do you mean by that? Explain about being more complex, or they're facing
things. Technology, you know, it's a lot easier to stalk somebody now than it used to be. We find tracking devices in vehicles or phone apps where somebody's been stalked and they don't know it. And I think, too, just the growing number of drugs that are available for people, you know, it's people's lives just become more and more complex with the change in society.
So both of you, what are these statutes that maybe cause a little bit of strife or make it more difficult? Do you mind sharing what those might be?
Well, I can speak on our end. We have confidentiality protection. So if a victim comes and talks to us and doesn't want us to tell anyone that they've worked with us, we basically say we can't confirm or deny. And then, of course, Mike has his job where he's doing an investigation and needs to talk to the victim. And oftentimes after someone's experienced a traumatic event, they just kind of hide away. So it's complex. He has his job. We have our protection. And so we just have to find ways to create. I think it's the most important part is creating a response in such a way where victims feel safe, that they can come forward and talk, whether it's to law enforcement or to us, that we've created transparency and safety for them.
So, Michael, what do you got to say about that?
Well, I think for us, we deal with them in such a narrow window a lot of times. You know, it's on a full shift for us, you know, it could be a very small portion where we actually have contact with that person. And a lot of times they don't want to talk to us. You know, it might be somebody else that's called. It might be a neighbor, a different family member. And for us to try to get the information, a lot of times they'll end up at the advocates, and that's where we need, and that's where just trying to, for us to all work together to get to the same point. And I think that's sometimes where that, where there's been those clashes. But it's what's sometimes hard for us to deal is that we're all trying to get to the same spot, but it's just kind of a different direction to get there.
You know, a lot of times it's tough, even though someone may be living in a really kind of dangerous situation, to admit it, to call in, that kind of thing is really hard, even though it seems to someone who, you know, who doesn't live in that situation, it seems like, of course, you would call law enforcement. What would you say to that, Mike, if someone's kind of in a fearful relationship?
And that's a lot of it for me with this ride, is trying to bring awareness and let people know that they should call us. I want them to feel good about calling us and trying to make a difference that way within law enforcement, so that we can get them to the advocates to get there. Because it's true, a lot of people don't call. They don't feel comfortable. They don't feel comfortable with law enforcement. They don't want law enforcement at their house or within their family unit. So I think that's the hard part for us, and just trying to get it that it's okay to call and we'll be there to help you.
Were you going to say something, Mandy?
No, I don't. I think I'm just thinking, you know, when Mike approached us to do the race, for me, I think that said a lot. It was personal for us in such a way that sometimes you feel as though you are out there all alone trying to address this complex issue, and you realize, no, there are these really great people in the community that care. So I just want, and I hope that people that are experiencing domestic violence out there know that, like, people genuinely care. Like, we want people to feel like they're safe, that that they matter, and that there is opportunity for their lives to be better. You know, that for us, it was very personal.
We ask you this all the time, Mandy. How is the incidence of domestic violence going? Is it the same? Is it better? Is it worse?
I think in some ways it's gotten worse in the way that we don't talk about it anymore like we used to. Like in the 1990s, when the Violence Against Women Act was passed, it was kind of the topic that everybody talked about, and I feel like it's kind of faded away in some ways. And so it's become more important than ever that we really just keep talking about it.
So why would it fade away? What's going on?
I think it's just sometimes I think, you know, it's that crime that happens behind closed doors where nobody can see it. And still there is that pushback where it's like, it's a family matter.
It's not our business.
Private matter, right? Like we don't mess with people's lives. We don't mess with their families. And so it's a hard thing to talk about. I mean, it happens in the most intimate part of your life, and that's not something that's easy to just, hey, let's talk about what happens, you know, in those very private places, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part when you have a family and then they think of this law enforcement officer just all of a sudden their house. And it just doesn't, people don't want that. But we need to get help and make them sure that they know it's okay for us to call and that we're not out to get anybody or to make it worse for anybody. We just want to help.
Right. Safety is a number one thing for your job as a law enforcement, making sure everybody there is safe, or, you know, getting someone out of a situation that is dangerous.
Yep.
And isn't it also an extremely dangerous situation for you as law enforcement, usually with domestics?
They are. I mean, just because all of a sudden we're in those situations and they're all different. All these domestic violence calls we go to, they're all different. They all have a different aspect and different portion that you just don't know what's happening, because we get such a small snapshot of what's going on. Usually by the time we're called, it's been going on for a long time, or it's been very heated. And by the time we get there, if people know we're coming, a lot of times we don't get the information that we need.
So you're going to be out there riding in your uniform? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, myself and Troy Scott from the Grand Rapids Police Department are going to start in Gilbert and ride to Gun Park.
That's fantastic. But you do get to wear shorts, right? You don't have to wear polyester pants.
We're going to wear shorts, but we'll have all of our duty gear on and
great,
our vests. And
How can people support what you're doing, support Advocates for Family Peace?
Well, if they want, they can certainly donate on Facebook or online. Otherwise, you know what, just cheer these guys on. You know, that's a lot of hard work. I couldn't ride a bike 72 miles, let alone in a, I don't know how much your gear weighs, but just looking at you, it looks pretty heavy.
Yeah, and for me, you know, just the support that we've already gotten within the community and bringing awareness back to it, I think is important. And if people are riding in the are on the tour with us or just going to be there, I just encourage them to wear purple for awareness. And if they want to jump in and ride with us for a portion of it, we're more than welcome. I've had some people that are going to ride different sections if they just want to ride a few miles or the whole thing, or we just really encourage that just to show our unity and community coming together for this issue.
Before we go, how much, you know, advocates, what's your image out there? Are people comfortable calling you, and are you getting lots of calls?
I think there's some misconceptions out there about what we do. So I always like just to say that, you know, our services are free and confidential, and in no way, shape, or form are we here to tell you how to live your life. Like, you are, you know, we always say that people are the best author or captain of their lives. And so we just want to support them in whatever decision they make. That decision might be that they're going to stay. That decision might be that they're going to leave. And that's none of that happens overnight. So we want people to know that we're here to support them and love them and help them. And hopefully at the end of the day, they find themselves in a better place.
And when I think of domestic violence, I'm thinking only of the adults, but it affects the kids in a very serious way. Are kids actively involved in domestic violence? I mean, in advocates? Do they come in with their families, or is that a later process?
We do have a youth program that we do, and we do provide one-on-one support for youth. I think for the children, it's always just so much more complex. When they come in, they are, of course, impacted by the trauma of that event, but that's something that I think you see everywhere, whether it's in schools or in the hospital or wherever it is that you're at. And so I think even that takes a real community just kind of wrapping themselves around these families and just saying, what can we do to help?
Mike, I want your advice on this. If someone we know, we think they're in a dangerous situation, it is sometimes hard to think that we should call in or we should do something about it. What would you say to that?
I just want the people to know that we're there to help, and we're working together with Advocates for Family Peace, that whether law enforcement gets involved with criminal charges or where it goes, the main thing is getting help to end it. Unfortunately, I date myself a little bit, but I've seen this now from generational families where you've dealt with mom and dad in those domestic violence situations. Now we're dealing with the kids that are in those same situations. And for me, that's a whole, you know, somewhere if we can get the help and make that stop. So whether it's criminally or just putting them in contact with the people that can help.
I think, Mandy, it goes back to what you just said also, is about people say it's none of my business. And I think some people are afraid to report things because they think that law enforcement is going to tell them that your neighbor Joe Blow reported this. Is that what happens? Or is it confidential when someone calls in and says, hey, my neighbors are duking it out right now? Do they remain confidential?
They can. When you make that call to dispatch, they're going to try to get as much information as they can because those things are important on the criminal end for witnesses. Because a lot of times, like I said, people aren't forthcoming and they don't want to tell us necessarily what's going on, especially if they're not the ones that called. So a lot of times if we get those calls, there's always a different story when you get there. So a lot of times, even if we can't get if we can't get criminal charges or if it doesn't go there, we leave packets with people that has all the information so that they can get a hold of the Advocates for Family Peace maybe at a later time.
When they calm down.
Yep. Or, you know, if it's just sitting on their table in maybe a week, maybe a month, all of a sudden they see that envelope there, maybe that's when they realize that they need to make the call.
That is Grand Rapids Police Department Deputy Mike Partlow and Advocates for Family Peace Executive Director Mandy Alto. To support the deputy in his efforts. And on the Mesabi Trail Tour, you can wear purple, you can join them on the tour, you can donate to Advocates for Family Peace. We really appreciate you guys coming in and talking and for doing the race. Thank you for doing that for our community.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is KEXE KBXE's morning show. We bring you conversations that matter in our community. We're looking for support. 800-662-5799. That's how we do this. It's member-supported radio in northern Minnesota. The deputy's at the gong. Nice.
Not bad. Not bad for a rookie.
We had a cyber pledge at KAXE.org.
We have new members. Cyber pledge from Kate and Liz from McGregor, and they are brand new members to Northern Community Radio. I want to thank them very much. So we've heard from Grand Rapids 5 times. We've heard from Goodland. And we've heard from McGregor. And now it's time to hear from you. I want to thank you, everybody. We need 11 more pledges in the next 29 minutes to reach our goal of 18. We can do it. You can do it. All you got to do is pick up the phone and make that call. It's easy. 800-662-5799.